Hi there. Welcome to ET Markets Investor's Guide, a show about asset classes, market trends, and investment opportunities. This is Chiranjeevi Chakraborty. As the debate intensifies over the disconnect between the stock market and the health crisis caused by the second COVID wave, investors are searching for answers and guidance. We caught up with a veteran asset manager, Shyam Sundar Bhatt of Exide Life Insurance, to find some of those answers. Mr. Bhatt, who manages assets of around 18,000 crore, spoke to etmarkets.com on how the market is looking beyond COVID, where are the pockets of froth, and how to handle the conflicting emotions that investors are going through at this point. Listen in.
Welcome, Mr. Bhatt, to the platform. It's a pleasure to have you here.
Thank you. Same here.
Great. Let me warm you to the conversation, you know, by asking the question that is on everybody's mind at this point of time. And that is that we have seen a very muted reaction from the stock market to the ongoing health crisis in the country. Do you believe that market is probably being a little too optimistic about the post-COVID recovery, given the limited fall we have seen so far, and it is probably leaning a bit too much on the sort of recovery we saw after the first wave?
So, to answer your question, I think we have to see two or three factors and keep them in perspective to understand why the market has behaved the way it has, particularly in the last 1 month. So firstly, I think the market has not totally ignored what is happening in the country as far as the acceleration in COVID cases and the several other medical infrastructure issues that we are facing. Because what has happened is that globally, we are actually saw the market's summer highs in April. While, you know, for the month, we were only marginally down last month, actually, on a relative basis, we significantly underperformed both the emerging markets as well as the developed markets. So to an extent, there has been, and this underperformance clearly is attributed to the fact that we had foreign funds showing big outflows from India after a long time. So clearly there was the apprehensions clearly are there, and while in absolute terms we have not really seen a substantial correction, on a relative basis we have already underperformed from the beginning of April. That is the first point, you know, in relation to what is happening globally. The second point is that if we have to compare what is happening now with what happened last year, two factors clearly are different. One is the fact that last year at this time when we had the first wave, the visibility was much lesser because we were not knowing as to how long it will take, for example, to get a cure or a vaccine. So that clearly, you know, is something which is settled now since the past 4 months or so. The second factor was that it was most corporates and, you know, all of us individuals as well were totally caught off guard, given that it was, you know, something which no one expected. So in the first wave, clearly corporates have had some learnings which they are deriving from or making use of in the current wave. A lot of cost savings also, which were done last year, some of them clearly may not be permanent. That is also another factor which you know, one has to take into account when considering this second wave versus the first wave. The third is obviously the fact that we have clearly been seeing accelerated vaccination happening. And while in the near term, I would say the be constraints in terms of ramp up of product for the vaccines, a diesel in the pace that was expected for vaccination. And the third point is that partially related to the first point, which is pertaining to the availability of the vaccine. So while we do have the vaccines available now for the last 4 months, unlike in the first wave when there was a lack of visibility as to when we'll have a vaccine, we've also seen accelerated vaccination happening over the last 2 months. the next 2 months, that is the current month and the next month, there could be some deceleration in terms of the expected pace of vaccination, given that there are production constraints in terms of ramping up. But at the same time, we are already having an increasing number of people having at least taken one dose, and an increasing number now taking the second dose as well. And we are already seeing signs of a peaking in some of the states which were the hardest hit, like Maharashtra as a state and Mumbai as a city, if we have to take. Yes, of course, there are some concerns in some of the other states and cities where the rates are where it's yet to peak. But expectations are that you know, we could be peaking over the next 1 or 2 months. Anybody's guess, of course, as to how long it will continue. But the experience of the first wave clearly, you know, possibly is helping us understand this second wave better. To net, to answer your question, while yes, there are concerns in terms of a slowdown in the expected rate of growth. So we are seeing cuts to the GDP forecast, growth forecast already from the double digit figures. We might still end up close to double digits. And we could see possibly some downgrades to corporate numbers as well if this second wave continues, you know, beyond June, for example. That is, if it goes beyond a quarter. But that is already possibly factored in to an extent in the kind of underperformance we've seen as far as the Indian markets are concerned relative to emerging markets and global markets, developed markets.
Right, sir. I take your point there about, you know, of course, having greater visibility this time around compared to last time. But one of the major factors that market was probably banking on last time around was that, or we understood later after the first lockdown ended, was that there was a humongous pent-up demand, especially from the, you know, the upper and middle class that we saw after the lockdown concluded. Do you think that pent-up demand will also materialize this time around as well, or do you think that this time around individuals will be far more circumspect because this is not just about lockdown fatigue anymore? It is also about the crisis that individuals and families across the country have gone through, and therefore the tendency to spend out of this this second wave would be much lower than compared to the first wave.
Yes, to answer your question, we may not see that kind of a pent-up demand again for, you know, two reasons. One is last year there was one of the reasons for the pent-up demand also was that manufacturing was severely curtailed in the first 2 or 3 months, and there were supply chain issues as well. That to a large extent is not happening. So manufacturing, clearly there's been no disruption for a large segment of the industries. Yes, in terms of deliveries through e-commerce, for example, might be restricted in a few states to only essential commodities. To that extent, we could see some pent-up demand, you know, related to that. But as far as your other question, in terms of time, there could be a sentimental issue. But if one sees from the longer term, and one sees from the aspects of what avenues one has to either save or spend compared to what one usually does, you know, when this pandemic, prior to the pandemic, clearly it should not really impact demand to that extent, given that where we are in terms of interest rates, in terms of fixed income, and also given the fact that the avenues to spend on tourism and entertainment and to an extent even on education, overseas education, you know, some of these things clearly factors which in the current last year and the current year which could lead to an increase in demand on the other consumption.
Right, sir. Of course, as you mentioned, markets has been circumspect, but it has not been fearful, as you mentioned earlier. And we have seen that lead to a lot of resilience as well as returns as well in the mid cap and small cap segment compared to the large cap segment over the past 2-3 months. In your opinion, do you see, you know, pockets, even though the overall market may not be very frothy at this point of time, do you see pockets of froth and you know, concerning valuations that really, you know, really bother you at this point of time?
So one more actually point to consider, which could possibly address this question, is that while the index itself has not, corrected as much as what one would have expected, given the concerns around the second wave, we've been seeing sectoral rotation and stock rotation on a continuous basis actually in the last few months. So, for example, one sector which we've been positive on for the last few months, but which could be possibly entering a frothy territory would be the metal space, which, there is a consensus positive outlook at this point in time. So while clearly the near term, the numbers for whichever companies have declared numbers so far have been strong, and numbers are expected to be strong for the next few quarters as well, given that it's like a request in front, positivity that one is seeing in stock prices in the metal sector, for example, is possibly reflecting a much longer term of high prices, which may not necessarily be the case. So that is possibly one area one may need to be a bit cautious about at the current levels. So some sectors clearly have actually corrected far more than the market, right? So for example, the financial space, the financial sector has considerably corrected from the peaks, while it may not really be reflecting as much in the Nifty. And this is what something, this is very similar to what we'd seen. And subsequently, of course, the finance did, catch up, and in a very short time, they were able to catch up, though it was towards the, latter half of the rally last year. We may see a similar scenario happening currently. Outlook clearly on the economy is positive over the longer term, and from the perspective of proxy to the economy, clearly financials do do offer the best. Question was relating to where there is froth, metals, possibly one sector where it appears there appears to be some froth currently, while there does appear to be potential in some sectors. Financials is one sector, and there are some segments of the FMCG space and auto space as well, where the stocks have either not performed in line with the market or have corrected more than the market. But these are also segments which could see a re-rating subsequently, upward re-rating.
Right, sir. Of course, we have at this point of time over the past 2 months, the entire attention has been on the domestic side and the domestic troubles, whereas globally markets have done quite well. But recently, there has been, indications from the Fed that probably they are preparing the market for an eventual normalization of policy. And one wonders, being an emerging market, if India gets out of the second wave as soon as possible, then there is another trouble, staring at us, over the horizon. So how do you think, investors need to position themselves in such a volatile environment where one uncertainty after another uncertainty is, threatening the returns that we have seen in the portfolios over the past 12 months?
Right. So clearly, we may not see this kind of liquidity central banks continuing for many years. So clearly there it is eventually will happen in terms of a normalization of the liquidity. Partly the reflection will be in terms of either lesser positive flows from FIs or negative flows. For example, April we did see negative flows, but that was clearly because India was far more affected in terms of COVID cases than the rest of the countries as far as that month, April, was concerned. And the same may be true this month as well. So one factor we look for is that if India is able to come out of the second wave and we don't really see, a third wave as what, a part of, some experts believe that there is a possibility later during the year. So given the relative underperformance in the last, month or so, related to the global markets, India may actually again start seeing inflows or relative inflows, even if there is a slowdown in liquidity flow to by central bankers. But more importantly, I think it's the domestic money which should act as a support for the market. This is something I had expressed before as well. What we had seen last year was retail investors, in many cases, first-time retail investors coming into the market, and and since we had virtually a one-way upward move in the market in the last financial year, most of the retail investors obviously would be very happy with the kind of returns they got. But at higher levels, like what we are at the market today, the risk level associated with investing in individual stocks, unless one has the ability to do individual stock research fundamentally or oneself, is fraught with risk. Therefore, we do expect money flow to come back into mutual funds. We are possibly already seen, and this is something which we had expected a few months back, that eventually, we could see that happening. Maybe too early to say, but last month we see a positive flow in mutual funds, equity mutual funds, after a gap of several months. And we do think that later on during the year, this could become a trend. So we would have possibly, this could be just like what happened in April. One of the reasons for the market, as far as the index is concerned, not really correcting, even 1%, I think it was about 0.5% for the month, was the fact that the entire foreign selling was nullified by domestic buying. And in this case, not just insurance companies, but mutual funds as well, which is a welcome change from what we had seen in the past when mutual funds were forced to be sellers because of the continuous redemptions. So later on during the year also, even if we do see selling from FIS, because of global liquidity conditions, but if the economy is on the right track as far as India is concerned, we do expect that domestic funds will be able to offer the kind of support that is required, and we may not really see deep corrections in the market. We do think that the level set with the market was just before the budget was announced should act as a good support level, even if the markets do correct, given that directionally this budget has provided a long-term positive momentum to the equity market.
Right. Great. So then I'll conclude this conversation, asking, for your advice and your guidance, especially on how to deal as an investor. How do you deal with a situation like this where, when you turn on news channels or you go on social medias, the emotions are very high and they are free flowing at this point of time, given what is, transpiring across the country. But at the same time, when you have to come back to the market and come back to your day job, you have to react very differently to those emotions. So what would be your guidance to first time investors in particular, how to handle a situation as uncertain and as dramatic as it is right now?
Yes, a very, very valid observation, because clearly there's no way of describing the human pain and tragedy that we keep seeing and reading about, of people that we know about and of people that we don't know about as well. But clearly, in terms of the day job, if our job as money managers, clearly we have to put things in perspective in terms of the longer term, rather than having the near-term sentiment impact our decisions. And the same will apply for, I think, individuals as well. I think things which, are beyond our control, for example, if there are things beyond our control in terms of the pandemic, which managing our long-term investments or allocating our assets in line with what our needs are over the longer term, clearly should remain a priority, and possibly should become even more of a priority because of the kind of uncertainty that one is facing in terms of the pandemic. So to that extent, I think one will have to clearly, while feeling the empathy for what is happening globally, we should always also realize that possibly money managing, for money managers, and of course asset allocation for individual investors, is possibly even more important now.
Thank you so much, Mr. Bhatt, for joining us today, for, you know, taking our time to share your views on the market as well as on investing on our platform. Thank you so much.
That's it, folks, in this week's edition of the Investor's Guide. Do come back next Saturday for this weekly special. You can check out our regular podcast on the equity market twice every weekday. Thank you for joining in and have a great weekend.